How many believe that Jesus rose from the dead? I don't have to go over it again. How many know that your Redeemer lives? If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that God has raised him from the dead. Amen. We know it because we believe the word. We know it because of a history. We know it for so many reasons. Archaeologists, people who wrote about the Christian movement in that time, Tertullian and others, we know it far better today than they knew it then. But they got to see him. Many of them got to see him. And if you get the morning's service, that the live sermon, Sunday morning live on our website, you will hear of Dr. Greenleaf, who was a professor at Harvard College, and the way he became a Christian was trying to disprove the resurrection. He was always about, that's how he did it. He started looking for evidence because that's what he was teaching in college, forensically. He's talking about evidence, judicial evidence, in order to have a conviction. And his conviction that Jesus was risen from the dead came when he examined the evidence and he came to the conclusion it just had to be true. Said there was more evidence that he rose from the dead that Caesar existed or Aristotle existed. It's all there. Unbelievers refuse to believe. Believers believe not just because of that evidence, but the evidence of what he's done in our lives today. So if you know that your Redeemer lived, now I was going to do an interpretive dance to this song. So I just want to read a scripture to you, and we're going to go to this song, Colossians 2, 12 and 13. And what I want you to emphasize as we read this, and I don't have time to go to all the scriptures, we'd be here for half a day. With him. Say it with me, with him. The moment anyone receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the Bible says something spiritually, there's a spiritual transaction. And water baptism is only an expression after that fact. Water baptism without that fact cannot save anybody. It is a testimony to a spiritual baptism that has already occurred. And if it hasn't occurred, water baptism is meaningless. No saving power in water. It's all in the blood. You can't plead the water, but you can plead the blood. Can you say amen? The Bible said by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, we are baptized into one body, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are baptized into Jesus Christ. The moment we're truly saved, that transaction takes place. Then in water baptism, we're really reflecting that and confessing that it's the public confession of what has already occurred spiritually in our life. Many people put the emphasis on the baptism as the saving part of God's process, and it really, really isn't. Is it necessary? I believe that it is. I believe every true Christian should want to follow in baptism because it's part of confessing him. Amen. Publicly. But will it save you without being saved because of the blood of Jesus? No, it will not. It cannot. Religion can't. Religious processes cannot, but thank God through the blood of Jesus we can, and we are saved today. Hallelujah. So with him, from that moment, here's a challenge. Personally, if you want to do a Bible study personally, go through the New Testament and look at all the scriptures. And if you want to highlight them, you can just go through the whole New Testament highlighting where it says, in him, with him, you will never find the believer apart from Christ. That's how he keeps his promise to never leave you, never forsake you. Because we are in him, and the Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. When Jesus prayed, he said, Father, he prayed for the disciples then and all of us, in every successive generation, us today. Father, you know how I'm in you and you're in me. We're one. He said, yeah. He said, I want them that believe on me to be one in us, just like I'm in you and you're in me. So the Holy Spirit spiritually places us in Christ. And to prove we're in Him, not just figuratively, but in a real spiritual sense, the Bible said we in the body of Christ become part and parcel of His body. Now, we're not divine in any sense. That's the glory of it. We're not perfect. We're not divine. We're the branch. Hallelujah. But we've been what? Grafted into the true vine, not only to the covenant that Israel had, but the blood covenant of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we become bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. Hallelujah. You can't get any closer than that. I loved Him so much, wanted to experience Him more and more and more, get to know Him better and better and better. So almost every service for the first 2 or 3 years of my Christian walk, I just had a standing prayer. I didn't go forward to get saved. I didn't go forward to get healed. God had healed me of cancer. I didn't go forward to, after getting the baptism, I didn't go forward for that anymore, but I always went forward for prayer. And I had a standing prayer. What do you want? And the tears are streaming down my cheeks. And I said, I want to get closer to God. As if them praying for me could get me closer. You know what got me closer to God? When I read in the Word how close to God I was. And how close God was to me. Amen. Hallelujah. We have been baptized by one Spirit into one body. And collectively we become a household, a building, fitly, each one of us make up part of it, fitly framed together for a habitation of God through the Holy Spirit. Praise God. He said, you are a temple, and when all of y'all get together, all these temples make a big old house. Amen. That I can come and live in. Praise God. Friend of mine, sometimes I think we're missing something that should give us joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Sometimes we feel like we're just not in that spiritual plane, that spiritual sphere that we could be. Look it up sometime. Don't get me preaching on it, but I've got to go on. But look it up sometime. With Him, we've been... Well, let me read it. No, I'm going to read it. I'm going to quote it, then read it. We've been buried with Him. Say, with Him. And we have been raised with Him. And then it talks about baptism into His death and representing the life resurrected in the scripture I'm going to read. But it also goes on in other scriptures to say we have been seated, say it with me, with Him in heavenly places. The word seated in the Greek doesn't mean you're sitting in the back and Jesus is up on a big throne. This is incredible to me. That we would be seated with Him. That God would allow us to have not only a familial relationship, get in the family of God, but a paternal relationship with the Father. And the word seated with is joint seating. Joint seating with Him. Nothing divine. Nothing that puts us on a little God or big God or any kind of God level. But it does put us in a place of spiritual prominence. Because you'll never find... We're going to go back to heaven with Him when He comes. We're coming back with Him to rule and reign. There's no place you can find Him without us when you get saved. So wherever you are, you might be so low, you feel like that you have been jerked through a knothole backwards. Think about that. Amen. That's pretty bad. You've had a bad time. You might feel unworthy. You might feel lower than a snake in a wagon rut. That's pretty low. You may be toe up from the flow up. But you have been baptized into Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has come to live in you. In fact, God the Father has come to live in you. What an incentive for holiness. Amen. Not just for some outward appearance, but because God is now living in me. This vessel is His. Hallelujah. With Him, everywhere you look. Book of Ephesians said, He's made you accepted in the Beloved. And you just keep going over and over and over and over. You can't find Him without you if you've been born again. So when He says, I'll never leave you, it's because you're in Him and He's in you. God answered that prayer by a mighty working. It's regeneration. Amen. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but you hath He what? Quickened. Quickened means made alive. And it's not just physical life, but spiritual life. We were dead to God. We were under the wrath of God. We could have no relationship with or to God. But when Jesus died on the cross and paid our sin debt, and we repented of our sins and received Him as our Lord and Savior, our sins are gone as if they never existed. As it is written, I'll cast their sins away from them, Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west. And then goes on to say, I will remember their sins no more. The next time the devil reminds you of where you've been, simply remind him of where he's going. Can you say amen? Don't let your past keep you from this new resurrected life lived in resurrection power. Don't let your past keep you. And I'm talking about yesterday. Not just all the years of accumulative sin before you got saved. I'm talking about yesterday. Don't let the devil cheat you from the grace and the mercy and the goodness and the purpose of God, amen, to get you in a position that the devil cannot condemn you to get you out of it. If our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows all things. Now, that's just not because God's looking at your heart and He sees how perfect you are and how wonderful you are. It means that your conscience is in there for a purpose, and the devil, it will try to get a hold of that conscience and keep you from having any boldness in prayer, any bold faith, because you know your shortcomings and he'll keep showing them to you. He's the accuser of the brethren. The Bible says, now, therefore. In Revelation chapter 12, now therefore the accuser of our brethren is cast down, that accused them before God, how consistently? Day and night. He never lets up. He's relentless. And they overcame him because they got it so together that he could find absolutely nothing to accuse them with. No. How did they overcome? One element, by the blood of the Lamb, number one. The word of their testimony, number two. That's not just saying I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Not even what He's done for you and how it's changed your life. The word of your testimony is, in that sense, to overcome the accuser, is directly related to the shed blood of Jesus. Amen. Plead the blood. Somebody said, I don't see that in the Bible. Well, you may not see the words plead the blood. How many have ever heard the word Trinity? God, amen. It's a triune God. You won't find that in the Bible in that sense, but you'll find all these scriptures that give credence and evidence to that. So it is a sound doctrine, biblical saying. And so is pleading the blood of Jesus. It is holding fast your confession. I know it says profession in the King James, but the actual Greek word is confession. And the actual Greek word for confession means to say the same thing as another. You need to say of yourself what God says of you now that you are washed in the blood of Jesus. Is that all right? You need to say of yourself what God says about you, not how you feel, not how other people feel. Because the devil's not the only accuser. There are people that knew you when. There are people that have seen your failures. There are people that know your faults. And they will accuse you. Hold fast your confession of faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised. He promised to forgive you. He promised to forget your sin as if you had never sinned. So don't carry guilt that He has come to deliver you from. If you continue to carry it, you will disqualify yourself from praying in faith and believing God for what you need from Him. There's only one way to approach God, and that's to come boldly before the throne of meritorial, no, the throne of grace, that you might obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of any need. The very worst sinner can come before that throne and get saved. And the very best Christian must come before that very throne to receive anything from the Lord. Why? Because the only reason you have a relationship with God is because He was merciful to you and granted grace unto you. And thank God for the amazing grace. Thank God for the amazing grace today. I'm not talking about using it as a cloak for sin and maliciousness. I'm talking about utilizing it because we have been saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah. And I want to see all the people that are hanging back because they're not where they used to be, to get not only where you used to be, but get closer to God than you ever used to be, to where the devil can't pull you away no more. You'll say, this is too good to compromise. This is too good to give up. Can you say amen? We have been buried with Him. The old man has been buried with Him and left behind. And we have been raised with Him. Hallelujah. The same power. Listen to it. I'm going to try it very, very quickly. Colossians 2, 12 and 13. Buried with Him in baptism. Not just the baptism in water. What has to happen first? We're baptized by the Spirit into His body. This is essential. Wherein also you are risen with Him. Well, if this is water baptism, was Jesus out there with you going down in the water? No, He wasn't. This is you being baptized before you're baptized in water. The most important baptism of all. Thief on the cross couldn't come down. There are Protestant, Christian, religious denominations today that will not allow you into heaven without water baptism. There are other Christian denominations that won't allow you to go to heaven if you're not baptized by a specific formula in the book of Acts only. Now, God would be derelict. You know, did you know something? If a Bible fell out of a plane, and while it's fluttering to the ground, one page turned loose from the binding, and it was Acts 2:38 was on that page. You could believe it from cover to cover, come to Jesus, be washed in the blood, baptized in the Holy Ghost. But you can't go to heaven unless you got that formula. Lord, help us when man gets a hold of it. I love the story of the man in the middle. How about you? As the story goes, the thief on the cross said, remember me, Lord, when you come in your kingdom. Remember me. Too simple, right? He's a sinful man. You say, well, he was just a thief. It said he was a thief. What happened when thieves came upon a man on the roadway and fell upon him? They beat him, probably stabbed him, left him for dead because there was no forensics back then to convict anybody. CSI didn't exist. So they killed people to take what they had. Good Samaritan came and saw he was almost dead, and he poured wine in the wounds to help the healing begin. He stopped the bleeding, took him to an inn, put him in the inn, paid a head for him to recover. And that one of the thief on the one side says, If you're really the Son of God, come down and save yourself and save us. And the thief on the other side said, let him alone. He's done nothing wrong. And we're getting justice for our crimes. Then he looked at Jesus in repentance and recognizing who Jesus was. He said, Lord, nobody can hold him, Lord, except by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost revealed who Jesus was to him. And you know what he said? Remember me when you come in your kingdom. The Bible said the grace of God has been so lavishly given that it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't complicate what Jesus did to save. Don't complicate what he did to restore. Don't complicate it. Don't let the devil defraud you out of your rightful place in God, where you can believe God. You say, brother, well, you don't know what I've done. Please don't tell me. Can you say amen? Let's make a deal. I won't tell you what I've done if you won't tell me what you've done. I won't show you mine if you won't show me yours. Is that okay? Hallelujah. That's better than amen. Maybe I just need a fist bump, everybody. I look at Christians that look forlorn. I look at Christians that are always trying to make the grade. Somebody, somewhere in your life, has accused you of something and you accepted that accusation. You accepted it and you wear it. You wear it on your psyche. You wear it in your character. You wear it in your relationship with and to God. I went into a radio station in Merritt Island when I went up there for a meeting, and I remember going in the radio station, Christian radio station. It was hot. I had on a white shirt. I had on a tie, dress pants, but it was 95 in the shade in the summer. So my shirt came down to my elbow, but it did not come down to my wrist. And I sat down in the chair in the studio across from the DJ guy at the, and he was a Church of God. It was a Pentecostal sponsored thing, and he was a Church of God man, and he was a minister with the Church of God, and also he was the narrator and the coordinator of the programming. And I sat down with him, and he was staring at me, and I thought, you check everything when you get stared at. And he said, he said, if you were with my organization, he said, they wouldn't let you preach in the pulpit. That was back then. Thank God it's a little different. Don't go too far the other way, but don't go too far back that way. Thank God some changes came. I said, what? What is it? What is it? Make sure everything's okay. And other things I checked. He said, listen. He said, I was at a conference, and I was charged with selling the books at the book outside, I guess we'd call it a kiosk now in a mall, where books were offered. And he said, I rolled my sleeves up and unbuttoned my top button on my shirt and loosened my tie. And one of the overseers come by and stopped in his tracks. And he said, I want that top button buttoned, and I want those sleeves down to your wrist. You represent the Church of God. And I thought, really? Seriously? And that's not a bad thing to have a dress code. But if you put the emphasis on the outside with no understanding, appreciation, or appropriation of what has happened on the inside. And what's inside should work to the outside. But loosening your tie, unbuttoning the top button. And he looked at me and he said, you wouldn't be allowed to speak in our, one of our pulpits. And I thought, this is radio. I mean, if I was, had a television camera, a bunch of lights on me, I mean, look at me this morning. It's Easter Sunday. Here I am. Put the camera on me. Just don't put the high-definition camera on my face. Just show my tie, okay? people will look you up and down. And I want them to see someone who dresses appropriately. But I don't want to put so much emphasis on the outside that the inside is left undone. That's Pharisee stuff. That's Sadducee stuff. That's just religious stuff. I remember if you wear your hair a certain way, you're Jezebel. Not us men. We get a free pass on that. Honestly, you were a Jezebel. You understand what Jezebel was? That spirit's around today, but it's not the way you wear your hair. Amen? If you put on a little bit of rouge to make your cheeks not look like a clown, amen, but just a little bit of something, you're Jezebel. If you put long eyelashes on, you're double Jezebel. When you get saved, you're a child of the King. That's why we let the hippies in. People left the church because we let the hippies come in. And we didn't require that they get a crew cut before they could get in. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. Can you say amen? I'm going to tell you, Jesus has bid everyone to come to him. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. Praise God. Amen. So, one of those long-haired hippie freaks that got saved and baptized in water in our church called me. He said he's going to come someday, so I'm looking for a little gray-haired old man. Because he said, if you see a little gray-haired old man sitting in the back of the church, he said, that'll be me. I said, well, if you see a little gray-haired old man preaching in the pulpit, that will be me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So we'll recognize each other by little gray-haired old men. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad that we let them in. He said, I watched the Jesus Revolution movie, and he said, my former pastor was one of those men when that revival was occurring. And I'm one of those long-haired, he called himself long-haired hippie freaks that they led into the church. And he said, Pastor Venable, he said, thank you for letting us come in and hear the gospel. Thank you for baptizing us in water with our long hair. Amen. And did you know something? Every one of them cut their hair later on. Not because I said it's necessary for you to come. It's necessary for you to be a Christian. But they knew, they wanted, they didn't want to identify with the former because they've been raised with him to walk in the newness of life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And you've been raised with him. And you're identified with him. And you're going to heaven with him. You're going to meet him in the air. And until he comes in the air, we are baptized into him. And he has come by the Holy Spirit to live in us. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. If he can come live in you, then you're not such a rotten, unworthy. Listen, if he can come and live within you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why is it the hope of glory? It's the down payment on heaven. There's nothing holier in heaven. Listen, transparent gold don't make that place holy. Gates of pearl don't make that place holy. Foundation of precious stones doesn't make that place holy. That place is made holy by the persons who are in charge and living there. Amen. God the Father makes it holy. When he comes on a mountain, spiritually, just spiritually comes on a mountain, there's shaking, there's quaking. Oh my. Amen. The people are so frightened by the shaking and the quaking and the lightning and the thunder. They said, Moses, go up and see what he wants and get him to quit. Amen. And they said the moment he came on the top of that mountain became so sanctified that even if a rabbit, even if a fox, even if a turtle, a tortoise, whatever it was, if any, you see any animal touch the base of that mountain, kill it. It is violating something that's been sanctified by the presence of God. God comes on a burning bush, speaks from that bush. Moses, you better do something to reverence this presence. Take off your shoes. The place you're standing. What happened to the terra firma? What happened to the earth? Amen. When God came on the bush, the ground around it became sanctified and holy by His holy presence. He's a God, the Bible said, that dwells in unapproachable light. Angels that minister in that light, the glory, the Shekinah that shines from Him. They were created so that they could minister in the direct presence of God. And according to the book of Isaiah, he said, I saw these seraphim, these specially created angels that minister in the direct, distinct presence of God. They had three sets of wings. They only needed two. With two, they did fly, moved about. What's the other two sets for? With two, these are celestial beings, not just physical beings, eternal beings, spiritual beings. With two, they covered their face, and with two, they covered their feet, and the robe took care of the rest. God is that holy. And what were they crying? Holy, no. Holy, holy, no. Holy, holy, holy art thou. A thrice holy God that dwells in unapproachable light. That the blood of Jesus has so cleansed and sanctified you. Now that's not the end of sanctification, but it's the foundation for all of it. That this God, this great, says, I am going to come and live in them. Their body is going to become my temple. That's why the Bible said your body is the temple. Keep it holy. There's your sanctifying purpose in your body. But you've been so sanctified in your spirit that God Himself, by the Holy Spirit, Christ Himself, by the Holy Spirit, can come and live in you and make their abode, the Scripture said. You know what abode is? That means to make yourself at home. When I went to eat one time with Brother and Sister Taylor, when they had the big dog, I prayed. I honestly prayed. I saw that dog and I said, if that dog won't get me, he can't stop it. And Rose, you're big and tall. What was his name? Chocolate. Chocolate. Oh, that sounds sweet, doesn't it? His head. I mean, wow, if he wanted to hurt you, he could put a hurting on you. He wanted to sleep with you guys, didn't he? Yeah, he wanted to race in there before, to make sure I get a place. I could just see Brother Sister Taylor out there on a pallet and that dog up there saying, if he wanted, I'd give it to him. But when we went there, they had a chair set up. They knew I loved to watch something on television. They had a wonderful meal, no chocolates under the table looking, and licking your leg. Yeah, he's a player. Anyway, moving right along. Oh, that we had the joy of Jesus this morning on resurrection morning. If you can't work it up on resurrection morning, it's going to be a tough year. Amen, because this is the time to celebrate. This is the time. Whom having not seen, you love with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Why? Because of what He's done for us at the cross. Glory to God. I'm so thankful for what He's done for me. Amen. I'm glad He's with me. Hallelujah. And He's not just for me. He's with me. Praise God every moment of the day. Hallelujah. And He'll be with me. He was with me in the ER after a stroke. He was with me. Praise God, after I received Him as my Savior. And I was always wanting to get closer because nobody ever told me how close I was. If they talked too much about grace, they figured we'd all go out and sin like crazy. That's not the real purpose and power of the resurrection. Hallelujah. What shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid, for whoever you yield your members servant to obey, his servant you are whom you obey, whether God unto righteousness or sin unto death. So you can't just go do anything. In fact, the fact that God lives in you is one of the highest, that Christ lives in you, that the Holy Spirit has come to live in you, is the highest reason and impetus for sanctification. Come about from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Why? Because you've got the holiest of all of persons living in you. That's not to make you feel bad. That's to lift you up. But it's also to remind you, hold fast your profession of faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Thank God for what Jesus has done for us. Thank God for what He's done for us. We've been buried with Him. We've been raised with Him through faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath He quickened. This word quicken means given life, and not just physical life, but spiritual life. In fact, eternal life, resurrection-powered life, together with Him, having forgiven, I want you to get this, having forgiven, done deal, past tense, having forgiven how many trespasses? Most of them, except that one, because boy, that was a zinger right there. How many trespasses? All? You mean the devil can't bring an accusation from anything that happened before you came to Christ? Now is the accuser of our brethren cast down that accused them day and night, and they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and the devotion that they now give in light of what He's done for us. They love not their life even unto the death. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Going under the water was a burial of your old life. Coming out of it in water baptism was a resurrection. God raising you from the dead, just like He did Christ. Romans 6:6, our old man is crucified, there it is, with Him. Oh, I love Romans 8:11. Got any shouting shoes? Anybody? Check and see. I put mine on this morning. Got Dr. Scholes in there on top of everything else, that if I shout too much, it'll cushion me. You know about Dr. Scholes? You put it in your cushion. Okay, it's an old thing. Some of you don't understand yet, but you will. Romans 8:11, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, give that resurrection-powered life to your mortal bodies. That doesn't happen when the trump sounds. That happens when you get saved. Can you say, man, hallelujah, through His Spirit that what? That dwelleth in you. When does He come to indwell you? When you come to Christ as your Savior. I'm not talking to baptism to have power, gifts for service. I'm talking about Him coming by the Spirit to live and abide in us. He was raised. He has raised us spiritually who were dead in sins. He's going to raise us bodily when He comes to claim His bride. Because He rose, we will rise also. How many are glad He rose? Hallelujah. And He was, John 14:19, because I live, you shall live also. Praise God, because He was raised for our justification. God pronouncing us not guilty. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad to be free in Jesus today. Hallelujah. As a weak amen, don't feel so bad about it. I know it's been tough. It's going to get tougher. If you don't get some of the joy of the Lord, you won't have no strength to endure it. Amen. I don't know what people are waiting for. If someone had told me what I told you this morning when I got saved, I'd been hard to handle. Can you say amen? Every service, I would have been jumping on my feet and praising God. They might have to call me down so the preacher could preach. I'm serious. If someone told me what had really happened to me, not just I was forgiven and I'm on this tight rope hoping I can, we used to sing it, I'm running, trying to make 100, because 99 and a half just won't do. Well, Lord have mercy. I ran for a long time. I never did get to 99, let alone 99 and a half, and certainly not 100. Listen, I'm going to heaven because He shed His blood on the cross and rose from the dead for my justification. Hallelujah. One more song. Can we do one more song? Have you got time? Hallelujah. Jesus saves. Today I want to go out of here with a message of hope to a hopeless world. I want people to know that being saved is more than just going to church and becoming highly religious and self-righteous. I want to know there's a joy in Jesus. Now, if you're not living for God and you're full of guilt and shame, go on and confess your sins and get cleaned up today. Don't go home dirty in your heart, dirty in your soul. Don't go home guilty. This is the place to get the blood applied. Amen. Maybe you could shout next Easter. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Maybe you can clap next Easter. Maybe you will come in with the joy of celebratory praise. I hope I'm here next Easter to see it. Hope God lets me live that long. Praise God. And I want to celebrate it with you. Hallelujah. I'm serious. If somebody told me what I told you, you couldn't hold me back. But you have to get it in your heart. I know I can't give it to you. I wish I had a big hypodermic. My wife said she wants the first shot. Amen. I would inject you with joy. Amen. But God does it through the Holy Spirit today. Jesus saves. I want us to go out of here reflecting the greatest salvation and the greatest Savior that this old world has ever known or will ever know. And we tell everybody we need about Jesus Christ and what He's done in our life. Let's do that together. You can be seated if you'd like for this. My Bible tells me that if I go into a house representing Jesus as one of His followers, disciples, and I'm received, let my peace be upon that house. Well, I've come in this house and you've received me today. So my peace is His peace. So I just want to pronounce a blessing on you for that today. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord turn His face toward you. Smile upon you. Lift His countenance upon you. And give you peace and power and joy. Hallelujah, like you've never known it in your life, in Jesus' name. Will you receive it today? Will you believe it today? All right, you know what's coming next. It's Bible. I want you to obey it. Go and eat the fat. How many can handle that? Pastor Buster Rhyme. Give me a fist bump over here. Pastor Buster Rhyme. Hallelujah, praise God. Go and eat the fat. How many can handle that? Go and drink the sweet. It's just down the street. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. Shake hands with one another and say, happy, joyous resurrection morning. Hallelujah. Before you go home.